hands as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. Then she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. Then she looked up to heaven, and these are the words that she speaks. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time, you see. But now all I have are memories, special moments to recall. So, Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall?" She said he really missed his family, being home on holidays. But he died for God and country in a land so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war when he was three. But Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him, but I know that just can't be. So I'll thank you for my memories and the moments to you tell him he's more than a name on a wall. Lord, would you tell him he's more than a name on a wall? Yes, Lord, would you tell them they're more than just names on a
wall?" This Memorial Weekend week, we celebrate or we remember those who have paid the ultimate price. There are some of you that are watching today who have lost loved ones, have laid down their lives for our freedom. And we appreciate every sacrifice that they have made, and we appreciate the sacrifice that you have made. And I pray that God will give you comfort and that person. I've been there too. I haven't lost a son in war, but I've had sons that have gone to war. And so we commemorate that and we remember them. They are more, those who have given their lives, they're more than just a name on a wall. Thank you today for joining us for a brief time. We will see you next week at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. Okay, I am going to dismiss our kiddos to go with Ramona. Now, Ramona's telling me some of the things that she's going to share, and I said, "That isn't fair. You should be sharing it with us." One of these days, we'll have her share with us. Now, don't you go sneaking out, you guys, because she's got some good message this morning. I want to get this microphone off so Brother Richie can have all of that. Okay. Brother Richie is going to be speaking to us this morning, and I'll turn it over to him now.
praise the Lord. Never give up.
I praise his name. Praise him. I said the last 5 months have been a battle. And I look at it and I ask myself, you know, like we all would do, even as I've pastored all these years, why am I here, Lord? And why is this taking place? And I believe everything that happens in our lives, there's a reason and a purpose. Everything. I don't care what it is, there's a reason and a purpose in our lives. And I'm determined that as long as I have strength and my oxygen flowing, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm praying that I get my strength back. I've been very weak and hard for me to stand up. And so just bear with me this morning. Because last week I went through struggling what God would have me to minister to on. And the only two words that came up is faith is. Faith is. And I asked you this morning before I go to the Lord in prayer to stop and think, what is faith? What's faith to you? What does it mean to you? What is faith? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself that question? What is faith? We hear the words talking and the Bible saying all the time about faith. But what is faith? What is? Stop and think, what is faith to you? What does it mean? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you praise and glory and honor. I thank you, God, for where we are. I thank you for what we go through. And I thank you because your word tells me to acknowledge you in all things, and you will direct our paths. And so, Father, I acknowledge you here today. I pray, O God, for your word to come forth with the anointing to touch the lives and lift us up and encourage us and strengthen us here this morning. I pray, O God, that as we walk the walk, that God, you will guide and lead and direct us. I pray for each person here. I have no idea what they're going through, but you do. I pray, O God, that you will touch them here this morning, lift them up, encourage and strengthen them, God. By your mercy, by your grace, I give you praise and give you glory and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen. I like to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter to start with. Thank you, God. My machine here had a mind of its own. But God could take control of that, too.
in the prayer on the 13th in Stockton. I'm going to read the first few verses. As the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood by on the shore. And when he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because he had no depth to the earth. But when their sun went up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But some fell on the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But the others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now we always have taken that scripture and used that scripture to say whatever we sow, we were going to reap. And that's true. There's truth to that. If we sow anger, we're going to reap anger. If we sow love, we're going to receive love. And I believe that. But this scripture verse is talking about more than that in this parable. It's really talking about what's sowed in our heart. And was placed in our heart. Not so much what we're going to profit or what's going to happen to us, but so on. But it's really talking about what is being sowed into our heart. And that is the Word of God. The Word has been sowed into our heart. The question I asked in faith today, if you don't believe, you're never going to have. Does that make sense to you? If you don't believe, if you don't grasp hold and believe the Word of God, you're never going to receive it. I know a lot of people said, well, I'm healed, but have they really grasped a hold of what the Scripture says? We are healed. That's our faith. That's our faith. You see, believing and having faith, you can't separate the two. Faith is believing. And faith is believing and accepting what the Word says. You know, I always use the example that when you're going down the street and you see a person standing out there in the middle of the street with his hand up, no uniform on, no badge, no nothing, how many of you are going to stop? You're not going to stop for that person. But when you see somebody out there in uniform with a badge on and he raises his hand, you're going to stop. Amen? You know the truth of it is, if you don't stop, what's going to happen? You're going to get a ticket. Well, the same way with the Word. When the Word tells us something, we've got to stop and grasp a hold of it and allow it to penetrate into our heart. But we've got to receive it in our heart. If we're going to receive the things of God, then we've got to receive the Word of God in our heart. And that's not just coming out and saying, you know, I can sit up here and tell you, he that's in me is greater than he is in the world. Sounds good. Amen? Because I can look at this, yeah, he that is in me is greater than he is in the world. But do I believe that? I'll forsake what I'm saying. But do I believe what I am saying? Do I grasp a hold of it and say yes? When I walk out of this church this morning, is he that is in me greater than he that is in that world out there? That's the question I've got to ask myself. Do I believe that this morning? But when I go out of here, by faith, I may not see it, I may not have the realization of what's taking place out there, but do I really believe it? Do I really believe it, what the Word says? Do I really believe what God's Word says, I am healed? Do I really believe that God's Word says He will provide for me? Do I really believe that? You say that he may be sitting there and say, yeah, but look at you. You're on an option today. That don't make no difference. That don't make a bit of difference. But I still believe that God heals. That does not change what I believe. That does not change my faith. My faith is in the Lord.
Amen.
My faith is in Him. My faith is in the healing power of Jesus Christ that took place on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Well, at the cross of Calvary, we were saved. Hallelujah. We were forgiven for our sin, and then we were healed. Now stop and think about that. We were healed. Isaiah tells us we are healed. And it tells us we were healed in the New Testament. Two different things. But we are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I can believe that. Can I believe in Matthew? I think it's the fifth chapter where it talks. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things we have enough to you. What's he talking about? He's talking about how the birds and that will be taken care of. And all that. What's he saying to them? He's saying, do I grasp a hold of my faith? No matter what's going on out there. You know, I hear everybody say, well, we're going to get another stimulus check. Oh, praise God. We're going to get another stimulus check. Where's your faith? Does your faith believe in the government? Or does your faith believe in what God can do? Because God's word says he will provide all my needs according to what? His riches and glory. That's his word. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God can provide? I can sit here this morning and I can tell you the things that God has done for me in my life. Time and time again, God has supplied needs. God has helped us with get our home. He's helped us with a car. Praise God. But God, people listen. God is in control. And do I have faith? Can I believe God? Because I believe that there's times coming right now. And coming down the pipe. There's rough times coming. There's some things coming that the church is going to have to be strong. And we're going to have to be strong in our walk with God. I can look at the government, and a lot of people say, I pray for our president. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with the vice president. I don't agree with our Congress. I don't agree with any of our government. But there's one thing that I have to do. God has told me in the scripture to pray for them. I need to pray for them. I need to pray that God will move in their life, that God will change different ones around. I need to pray for our government. And I know sometimes, how many of you know it's hard to pray for somebody you don't agree with? Sure it's hard. I grant you it's hard. When I first started praying for our president, I struggled with that. I didn't want to pray for him. But I felt God imposed upon me, pray for the president. God, I don't want to pray for him. He's doing everything contrary to your word. Pray for him anyway. So I need to pray for our president. And I tell you what, when you start doing what God wants you to do, by faith, I'm praying for my president because by faith, I believe that God is working in our nation. I believe God is working in the body of Christ, as churches and individuals have gone astray from the pastor, have gone astray from the Word of God. They're condoning the things that are going on in our world, in our nation. And I'm not praying God put them down. Don't pray God kill them, because God is going to kill them on your word, that's for sure. But pray that God will help them, pastors to change, church congregations to change. They want to walk with God. Pray that God will move in their congregation by His Holy Spirit and move them in. I need to have faith that God is drawing the body of Christ together. It doesn't mean that my church goes down here with the other church, but it means that the church and the body of Christ is starting to pray according to what God's Word says. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. We ask not. We have not because we ask not. If you're going through a trial and a problem and it's not being, have you got to put your face down before the Lord and pray God take over this situation and believe and have faith that God is going to do it? Place the word in your heart. Place the word in your heart. If God be in your heart, that scene in the 13th chapter of Matthew is talking about the word of God being sowed in our heart. And we operate on that. We operate on what's in our heart and not what we believe. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see my healing. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I'm not seeing it happen. But I'm believing it. I'm believing in the power of God. I'm believing His Word. His Word says, I am healed. I am healed. And I have to remind myself of that, or I'll slip from that. That I am healed. How? I am healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm healed. Why? Because it happened at Calvary. And God's Word tells me that I'm healed. In the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I do know this. Whatever is happening, if you lay it out on the altar and give God the opportunity to touch your life and minister to you. The Reformation was a 16th century movement led by Martin Luther to effect reform within the church. When it became obvious that it was impossible, a host of members withdrew from the Catholic Church and formed the Protestant body. The basic principles of the protest were justification by faith, the priesthood of all the believers, the right of private judgment, and the authority of the Bible. These have been called the pillars of the Pentecostal faith. The one cardinal principle of the Reformation which stands out above all others is the doctrine of justification by faith. Very simply, the Reformers came to the conclusion that salvation is not by works, but by grace through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by what we do, not by how we say, Lord, here I am, and I've done this and I've done that. That has nothing to do with it. We are justified by faith, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You that have accepted Jesus Christ have come to the throne and kneeled down and said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I have no works. I'm not bringing no works before you. But I'm coming to the cross of Calvary. I'm accepting the by faith, the healing power, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ through His blood. I know that I am saved. Why? Because the Word tells me. The devil wants to come. How many of you have the devil sit on your shoulder and tell you you're not saved? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. You're not saved. You're still who you are. Look at what you said. Look where you came from. Look who you were. Look at all the things you've done. But the Word of God tells me that when I come before the throne of God and I repent and say, God, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Yes. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. I am forgiven. My sins have been wiped clean. They've been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God, if I came to you and said, do you remember? God would say, I don't remember that. I don't remember anything you've done except what you did at the altar when you came to me and repented. I remember that when you made that decision to say, God, forgive me. Here I am. I remember that decision, but I don't remember anything before that. Hallelujah. That's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. But the day before the Lord, hallelujah, He's going to say, welcome in, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I want to hear those words coming one day. Hallelujah. Paul said, basically what I want to say here, but paraphrase, Paul says, don't fall short. Don't give up now. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Now is the time to hang on. By faith, believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith must be mixed with the Word of God to be effective. Are you hearing me? The Word tells me that man has been granted a measure of faith. Now listen to me this morning. I've had people say, oh yeah, Christians are all. I said, wait a minute, that ain't what the Word says. Because the Word said, man has been granted a measure of faith. That includes everybody out there. Everybody out there, whether they know Jesus Christ or not, they have been granted a measure of faith. The question today, the question in our life is, where is my faith? What do I have faith in? Do I have faith in the government? Do I have faith in man? Do I have faith in the banks? Do I have faith over here? Where is my faith? Where is my faith? What do I really, truly believe in? And a lot of them out there believe in the world. They believe what's going on. And they're operating in a measure of faith because they hold them fast to that. And I'm telling you, there comes a day when you give up the faith of the world and you start to walk in the faith of God. What does God's word say? The same physical message was given at different times to hearers and receivers. The word of faith and word of God in faith. Notice the different reactions to Paul's message in Acts 17:16 and 32. That's when the slave girl come that had a spirit of divination and remember she was pestering Paul. And they've been walking behind Paul. Paul got annoyed. And then he turned around. And what did he do? He cast the demon out. And those who were using her for making money were upset with her. So what? So sometimes when a message of faith is mocked and people challenge us with it. Some said they would hear it. Hear him speak later. They wouldn't listen to what Paul had to say. And the new children hear and believe and receive the word of God with gladness. That's what we have to do. We have to receive the word of God with gladness and happiness. Be rejoiced. I know the struggle these last 5 months for me. I'll tell you what, you're going through the valley. At times it's no fun. It's no fun going through the valley. But there has to be a time when we could pull up our socks, are you hearing me? And take authority over our life. And say, God, I am going to make a decision. And I'm going to serve you. No matter what. I am going to serve you with all my heart. I may not feel it. There's times, how many of you don't feel like getting down and pray? Come on. Nobody wants to raise their hand. You think I'm going to point you out? Oh, there's one over here and one over here. No. Praise the Lord. How many times have you felt that? And how many times you got down to pray and say, God, where are you? You know what I'm going through. But God says, I had a confirmation just last night. I talked to my daughter and my wife, and my wife told me, I said, you know, I just feel it. And she said, you got to walk by faith. Isn't it wonderful when you have somebody standing there that tells you how you got to walk? You got to walk by faith. You may not feel it, you may not understand it. And then I go for a drive when things come, lately when things come together, I get in the car and go for a drive. How many ever done that? Just to get your mind together. And I drove over here and Bob had a situation, and so I come over here and I stop and Bob came out and we talked. And Bob said something, I don't know the exact words, Bob, but he said, you know, you've got to basically hit me with a reassurance to me that you've got to do my faith, what he told me. I have two witnesses now, so I have to accept that according to the Word of God. But you go on faith. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I don't know what's going on. And I've got to walk it out. Faith cannot be present based on the Word of God. Now, talk about spiritual faith. I'm not talking about worldly faith, but I'm talking about spiritual faith. Faith cannot be present unless based on the Word of God. That's what the sower is. The seed was sowed. The seed is sown into our lives of faith. How? By the Word. When we read and study, that's why it's so important you read the Word. That's why it's so important that you read the Word, not just whenever you need to read it, because you're going through a trial or a problem, but you read the Word every day. You pick up the Word and read it, because and ask God to reveal Himself to you, that be seed, because every little nugget that comes will be planted right here in your heart. You hear me? You may read a chapter a day, and read that chapter, same chapter, same chapter, and not get one thing out of it. And then one day, you're going to read that chapter, and boom, just like a light, a floodlight comes to you, and this Word comes to you, and what happens? That Word is put in. Have you ever had that happen, where that Word stayed right with you in your heart? See, that's what they're talking about sowing in the 13th chapter. Sowing the Word in my heart. Once I get the Word in my heart, I have something for me to have faith on. Amen. Once I get the Word that I'm healed, I have faith. I know what the Word says. The devil may sit on your shoulder and say, "Nah, you're not healed. You can't do this. You can't accomplish this. You can't do it." Now I'm going to tell you what. God is on the scene. The Holy Spirit will lead you guys, because you have that Word. You have that Word. You know, the Bible tells me that we are more than conquerors. I am more than a conqueror. Did you ever think about that? When they conquer a city or a town, I may ever watch some of these war movies. So they come in and say they conquer the whole town. The whole town they take over. It's theirs. They've got it. They take control of that town. That's what God is saying. I am more than a conqueror. I have more power living in me to overcome anything. I have more power in me. I am more than a conqueror. I can overcome anything that's there. How? Through the Word of God and through His Word. His Word will, that's why I need to grow. When a person is growing, they're planting the seed in their heart, the Word of God, continually. Romans 7:8 refers to the Word of God, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. Do you hear that? The Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the Word of faith, which we preach, which we teach. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Hearing here. We hear the Word of God, but as a big plan. The second part says, and hearing the Word of God. Why? Did I really hear the Word of God? How many of you have ever been in a conversation with somebody, and after, a little while after, they said, "Did you hear what I said?" And you said, You weren't listening, were you? You weren't listening. And that's the same way with what he's saying right here. Do you hear the Word of God, and are you listening to what's being said? Are you planting it in your heart? Are you receiving it? Are you listening? And I think about that. Boy, this time I missed the boat. He said, "You, Pastor?" Oh, yeah. This time I missed the boat with the Word of God. But I also missed the boat with somebody was talking to me. Because they were telling me something very important in their life. And I missed the boat. I didn't hear it because my mind was elsewhere. I know. You all been there, haven't you? And when I looked at you and said, "Did you hear what I said? Would you please repeat that?" God just makes you feel like you're kind of foolish, huh? Standing there talking to somebody. But praise God, God's Word, He wants us to hear what we're saying. The Word of God was written by faith. It records acts of faith. It is received by faith. It is understood by faith. It is put into practice by faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Key word, diligently. How do you seek God diligently? You spend time in prayer. Whenever the Holy Spirit calls on you to pray, you pray. You give praise and glorify God. You seek Him diligently. You seek Him with all that is in you. How many of you used to say that when you were growing up and a child would say that little prayer, now lay me down to sleep, my soul, the Lord, my soul, you know, so forth. Can't remember it. I'm 82 years old. I can't remember a lot of things. But if you remember that, and you said it how many times, did you really know what you were saying? Praying for God to take care of you, and if you should know me, God is home today. Sometimes we don't realize what we're praying, do we? We just pray something because we're taught to do it. But really, what does it mean? What does it say? And so, if we diligently seek Him, diligently go after Him, I go back to Matthew, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him first. Faith is seeing through the eyes of God. Well, think about that. Faith is seeing through the eyes of God. On three different occasions, the army of Israel was warned of a trap from the nation of Syria and veered away to safety, 2 Kings 6, verses 8 through 23. The king of Syria called a council to determine the traitor within his own camp. The problem turns out to be Elisha, the prophet of Israel, 2 Kings 6 and 12. And one of his servants said, not my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you seek in your bedroom. The Syrian army proceeded to do nothing. He did not to capture the prophet of God. Three different occasions, the army was warned. Why? Because faith is seen through the eyes of God. The Elijah the prophet knew what was going on. He heard what God spoke to him, and he warned the king. He warned the king, through the eyes of God, he'll speak to us. Through the eyes of God, we'll see what things are going around the corner. God can show us things in the spirit that are confronting us or going to come against us and cause us to by faith in the Word, overcome that and conquer that situation. He can show us. He will open our... Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you about... Have you ever had that happen? I had a time that God had shown me. I was headed to Tucson. I had a person who was in a hospital. I was headed to Tucson to go pray for them. I came to a stoplight in Coolidge, and I was going to go this way to go around. And I won't get into it, but go around and come in the back side of Tucson. But as I stopped at the light, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I mean, I had my turn signal on, and I just played the turn left. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no. So, don't go. And I pulled back out into the right lane, go straight ahead, even though I had the turn signal on. Probably would have got a ticket at the top of there. But I went on to Tucson and did. Now, you say, well, what happened? I don't know. But I do know that God seen down the road. It could have been a wreck. I don't know. God seen what was happening. And I took care of the situation. I went on to Tuesday, did what I was supposed to do, come home. But I never did find out. And you said, wait a minute. But I believe that God sees something down there. And God stopped me. God will stop you. I have been stopped on visitation to homes. I pulled up in front of a house to go visit and the Holy Spirit would say, you don't need to go there. Don't go there. Go over here. And I said, but Lord, how many of you ever tried to argue with God? I'm going to tell you, God is persistent. He is very persistent. I said, but God, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke and said, no. I went over to the other where God had showed me. God seen what was happening in that house. God knew what was happening. He knew what they needed. He knew what the people needed. And He sent me there. And I had prayer with them. They were going through a very difficult time. And when I come and knock on the door, and the man opened the door, he said, oh, Pastor, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. God, through his eyes, God sent me. But He seen what was happening. You see, God knows what you're going through, and He knows what's before you. And trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. If God says stop, then stop. Go the other direction. But if He says go over here, then go over there. Because that's where God wants you to be. Because there's a problem. By faith, I trust in the Word. By faith, I trust in God. By faith, I trust in what He's leading me and guiding me to do. By faith. Situational cope was in Elisha's servant in verse 14 there. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. And Elisha answered to his prophet. He said, fear not. Fear not. How many times do we hear in the scripture that God's telling us, fear not. I got this under control. We may not think He's got it under control. But by faith, Lord, I fear not. He said, so He answered, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eye that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Around Elisha. Hallelujah. In any time in our life, in this nation, we need to have our eyes open. God, let me see what you see. God, by faith, open my eyes. Let me have faith to have my eyes open to see what's going on, to see what's happening. God, let me see the angels. Hallelujah. How many of you know that I believe that we all have an angel guarding over us? And sometimes we don't trust them. But I'll tell you, there's angels in services. When I was pastoring in Bisbee, we had a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. And we were praying for individuals. And a young man after church, I guess he was about 10 or 12, maybe 11, went up to his mother, who was a piano player, went up to his mother and said, Mother, did you see them? And she said, did I see who? The angels. She said, what? Did you see the angels? Did you see the angels? And she said, what are you talking about? She said, he said, all over the piano and everywhere, up on the platform, there were angels all over. He said, oh, it was wonderful, Mother. Wonderful. Did you see them? And she said, no. Childlike faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Childlike faith. We've got to have childlike faith. I believe Oh, glory, come of us, Father, the highest. I believe right now, that God opened my spiritual eyes that I may see what's encamped around us here in this service. I believe that not only is the Holy Spirit present in every service, but I believe this morning that every time we come together, not only is He here, but there are angels here to do work, protection. When we go to bed at night, we should think, oh God, protect my house with your angels. Guard us over what could happen. Protect us. When we're going down the highway, God, let your angel, let your guardian angel cover us. Protect me as I travel. Hallelujah. I believe God said, He wants to show us things that we have never seen before. And I believe He will open our eyes and we'll pray and trust and have faith. The servant's eyes are open to the angelic warriors. We allow our situations and burdens to blind us to God's provisions for our every need. How many know how much truth there is in that? Without circumstances to blind us, from what God has for us. What God has for us. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I do know this. That whatever you're going through is not bigger than God. God can do the impossible. When it seems impossible, and look, 1:37, I believe it said, it says that God can do the impossible. There's nothing that is impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing on this earth is impossible for God. So we place that in our heart. Salvation, Calvary, is a finished work. Healings for the strength, we are healed. Isaiah 63:5. Deliverance, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond. Listen, beyond that which you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We can grasp a hold of that. There's no temptation greater. No temptation. God knows what we are able to handle. He knows who we are. We may not think. How many of you cried out, God, I can't handle this? But the first thing is to remember, God knows you can handle it. He knows you can handle it. You know, I think of Job. When the devil came, and all this was coming against Job, he lost everything. Home, kids, and his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Three friends were against him. But the thing is, all that occurred because the devil said, you know, you've got a hedge around him. I can't get to Job. And the Lord said, I'll take the hedge down. You can get to Job, but you cannot have his life. You cannot have his life. But go ahead. He trusted Job. Job had faith. Even though you read the book of Job, it says, oh man. But Job had faith. In the end, he got double. If you stop and think about it, he got double of everything he had. God bless him. So there is a deliverance. Security. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hallelujah. That's who the Lord is. Faith is acting according to God's promise rather than according to fact. We don't operate on fact in faith. We ought to act on the promises of God. James 2:17. That's also by faith is by itself. If it does not have works, it's dead. Faith to remain vital and alive must be put into action. If you say you believe, you must put it in action. You must take the word into your heart, put it into action, and believe. Peter stepped out onto the sea at the invitation of Jesus. Remember that? He stepped out. Invitation carried a promise of supernatural ability. When Jesus spoke to him, there was a supernatural ability given to Peter to step out of that boat and walk on water. Supernatural. God wants to reach you with a supernatural ability. By faith. See, Peter had a faith at that time. He stepped out of that boat. He had faith. He believed in what Jesus was saying. He believed in the word that was coming forth to him. He stepped out. He wasn't thinking about what he was doing. He just did it. He put action to his faith. He put action to it. And when he stepped out, then Peter considered the facts. The weaker his faith became. When we start to consider the facts in a situation, financially, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know how this could happen. You get away from your faith in God to provide provision. Now I'm going to say something right here. You can get upset with me. That's all right. I've been at this for almost 50 years now. And I've had a lot of people get upset with me. And I want you to realize something. If you want financial blessings, tithe. I'm telling you, tithe. And if they don't come, don't get upset with God. Keep tithing. Keep tithing. Now let's see what God can do. If you have a financial problem. I had to go through that. I said, God, I don't want to give 10% of what I'm making. And God said, don't give 10%. I won't give you anything. So finally, I started tithing. It didn't work out. I wasn't giving no more money. I wasn't making a bonus working underground. Something was happening. You know the funny thing is? Went to the grocery store and shopped. Huh. That's funny. Our shopping bill was less. I looked at things. Everything that we used to buy was on sale. People say, oh, that was just an accident. No accident. God may not put money back in your hand, but He may give you health. He may supply your food. He may give you benefits of the gas. He may take care of your car. He may do other things that cost you money. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. You may say when you walk out of here this morning, I don't want to hear any preacher anymore. He's preaching much by faith. Praise God, that's where it's at. Faith got me saved. Faith at the cross of Calvary. Faith got me saved. What? I have faith that Jesus died on the cross. I have faith that He shed His blood for me. I have faith when I was going down a corner when the doctor said I was in a wreck and my heart was, they said my heart was damaged, that smashed. That he told the nurses. The nurses were talking. I thought I was asleep. They said his heart's crushed. He's not going to make it. They couldn't get the monitor. It just kept going fast. The next morning they wheeled me down the hall. And I went and said, Lord, I'm your child. I'm your child. Whatever you have for me, that's it. In other words, I said, you're going to heal me, heal me. If you're going to take me home, take me home. They got me in there. The guy was doing an echogram and all that on me. And the monitor and everything was perfect. They wheeled me back to the room and hooked me up. Everything was perfect. Come and help me go down. It don't take God 2 days, 2 weeks, a month. It don't take God that long. It just takes your faith, believing that God is real, and the Word is real, and the Word is the truth, and I can ask Him for that Word. And I can be healed. God, I believe that. I believe that with me this morning. That healing is real, and healing, So let it be manifested in our lives. Peter stepped for the invitation for that promise that Peter considered a fact. The weaker faith became. His faith became weaker, but he started up. Have you ever started up in a certain sense? Started getting upset, having anxiety. Have you ever been there? The more you look at the problem, the worse anxiety came. Amen? Israel wilderness, getting close to closing. Israel's wilderness, wandering, illustrated the conflict between the fact and the promise of God. The spies reported, remember the spies, they reported facts into famine. Instead of walled cities, they came with earth swallowed up the inhabitants. Instead of giants, monsters roaming the land, there's only two that came back with a promise and a fact and a belief. Faith, because God told them to go in and take the land. God told them to go take the land. Go take it. God said, only two come back. Two come back with faith in God's word. The others said they were mere grasshoppers. Fear came over them. They looked at facts. Instead of the promise of God. As I close, may God give us the grace and the courage to make choices that will place us in the camp of those who by faith attain a good report. Based on the Word of God, be not and do not deal with human logic that deals with the spiritual word of God in your life. Trust God. We may be going through some hard times that we've never gone through before, but let us trust God. Believe in God and bind together as a unit in the body of Christ as one body, believing that we go through other to bring us through under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and in the body in Jesus' name.
We walk by faith, not by sight.